Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Much better intro figures that we get a spurt from there.
Likes a new intro. Hey,
I'm Chuck Bonnywell. This is Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
The show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Lori Sain coming up to join us at the bottom of the hour, Weld County Commissioner. We talked to her last week about her proposal to have Weld County declare that it is not a sanctuary county and that they're not going to be using county funds to take care of illegal immigrants at the expense of their citizens. You'd think it'd be a no-brainer, but not for the rhinos in Weld County.
Beefy and belligerent Sherry Fife went after
went after Lori Sain. And not only do they not want to pass the resolution, they do not want to hear from any pesky citizens who want to talk about it. So in a sounds like they're in Haiti or something like that. The Weld County Commissioners have decided that they will Kevin Ross. They decided that rather than have to worry about public comments at public hearings, they weren't going to have any anymore.
That's so much easier.
So no more. And then there's the town hall. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, I wanted to talk about the Oscars. And interestingly, this is my take on it. Jimmy Kimmel got played by President Trump, who was like the master troller, right? I mean, Trump is just Jimmy Kimmel. So the Oscars are going along, and it was their medium wokeness, right? It wasn't the anti-Trump derangement.
It was boring.
Yeah.
Boring.
It was kind of, well, parts of it, sometimes there were some funny things that happened.
Boring.
But, well, part of it is we hadn't really, I mean, half the movies I never even heard of because, like, no one likes them anymore.
Yeah. Bart Hammer and a couple others and, you know.
Right. But at least it wasn't, like, outrageous in the speeches and things like that had been before. But then, so it's kind of going along. And, I mean, you and I have been talking and saying, well, this isn't as atrocious. No, boring, yes.
Bored,
But it wasn't the god awful anti-Trump, like I said, Trump derangement syndrome, until toward the end. It'd been going along swimmingly, and then Jimmy Kimmel decided to read something that Trump had posted on Truth Social. So we're going to play it, but then I'm going to say why this was masterful by Trump, and Jimmy Kimmel is an idiot. So Thomas, if we could please play, hopefully we have it, the Jimmy Kimmel soundbite.
A review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopinopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still... Isn't it past your jail time?
I mean, just look at their smug, cheering faces.
Yeah, you just hate them all.
You hate them all. Exactly. I mean, and here's my take on it. And, you know, feel free to chime in if you want to call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, or your comments. But up until that point, as you said, it was kind of boring, but they're always boring.
Small and petty. It didn't seem, at one time, God knows how many years ago, Oscars sonnet seemed glamorous and important, and an important cultural event or something. I don't know what we were thinking back then, but it was. And this one just seemed, the stage seemed small, the people seemed small. The
started weirdly early, but up until
the glamorous
point,
people seem not very glamorous.
But here's the thing that I think is, this is why Trump is just so masterful. And I don't even know, they should not even try to out-Trump Trump on social media, because he, how many people, first of all, he did it on True Social, right? Which not that many people get, particularly, I think, a lot of people who'd be watching the Oscars. Not that that many people would actually be reading True Social during the Oscars in the first place, right? So I don't know what number of people might have seen the tweet, okay? But Jimmy Kimmel, by reading it, all of a sudden turned it into about Donald Trump again, right? It's like he just lives in their heads and they can't get out, and all it does is benefit him. So because Trump, you know, if you're Trump, you're like, oh my God, you know, he's probably Melania. Said, no, Donald, please don't tweet Jimmy Kimmel. And he goes, maybe he'll read it. And she's like, he's not going to read it. And then boom, he reads it, right? It's perfect. Like, yeah, it is perfect. And not only that, but then once he read it and you saw those smug Hollywood actors and actresses clapping and laughing, reminding you once again that they hate us, right? And it's like, so if you were thinking about maybe...
Why, you know, which is, why do we care what actors and actresses think? It's amazing that you know...
We don't, really.
I forget that one Emmy show that What's-Her-Name hosted, and they said, you know, just take your little statue, you've got to thank your God, and get out of here, because most of you don't know what you're talking about, because you had less education than Greta Thunberg. Went to less school than Greta Thunberg, and we have these kind of numbnuts.
Right. Oh, and I think they have way less influence. Plus, in this age of, mega donors, it used to be you could kind of bundle, you know, like a Hollywood star would do something. Well, now, Hollywood stars, they come up with like mere millions and anymore. If you want to be a player, you have to bundle billions at that kind of level. So there's that. But again, I think they wonder why the movies suck. I mean, there was a time in watching the Oscars where maybe I wouldn't have seen them all, but I would have wanted to see them all, and I would have seen a significant number. I haven't been to a movie theater since COVID, really, right? Right after COVID, didn't we try to go see Spider-Man or something? And then at the AMC theater, it stopped halfway through. Then it came back on with all of the words at the bottom. And then it started from the beginning, right? And some like 12-year-old.
Well, you got 1.5 times of money.
So, yeah. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to go back. But I think it's just, you know, you read these things about Hollywood can't figure out what's wrong. Hollywood can't figure out what's the matter. Well, the number one reason things are wrong is, the movies suck for the most part, right? They're just bad.
There used to be a time when they only had 5 Best Picture nominees.
Oh, yeah.
And if it made the top 5, I usually tried to go see all of them. Then they decided to span it out to 10, which means that, you know, there can be lots of mediocre movies. Even before, there was some mediocre, but now, you know, maybe a majority of them are mediocre. So you go, no, I don't care.
Which is why Al Pacino didn't even bother to read them when he was, right? He was the guy making the announcement of the Best Picture, and he forgot to read them. The nominees are.
Well, it takes an hour.
Yeah.
Take an hour
he
to
was
read
like,
them.
He just went straight to the winner, and everyone was like, oh. But I think.
Oppenheimer, yeah.
Tell you what's wrong with it. The movies suck. And then when they don't suck, they're so condescending and they're so over the top woke or just dumb that there's that. And then when they show all of them who are about to get in their fancy jets and their fancy cars and go to their fancy parties while they whine at us, of course, about homelessness and things like that, right?
Climate change.
And then they clap. You know, I mean, it's like these guys.
Well, they were wild clapping. I mean,
they thought it was hilarious.
Themselves so much. Standing ovation.
Right.
For anything.
And it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like Donald Trump, that was masterful, because in one fell swoop, not only did he get Jimmy Kimmel to read what he had tweeted, which a huge number of people, way more people now know about it than would have before. But then most of the people agree with Donald Trump. And then when you saw those Hollywood actors, if you were even beginning to forget because of Barbie that maybe they didn't hate you, now you remember they do hate you. The Barbie people were clapping. I mean, all of these ancient, irrelevant movie stars anymore, who are all going to be replaced, by the way, with AI.
Thank God.
I mean,
that's
sooner or later, we're going to have.
That's one good thing about AI.
Yeah. So you'd think they would try to reach out to the audience, you know? I mean, there was a time, I think, back in the Hollywood heyday, right? Where the publicity and the PR people, I mean, it was sort of like when they were going book tours, right? They would try to reach out to people, right? And try to build a fan base, but now, no. Here's from Jacob. Jimmy Kimmel should have been more concerned that the stars had to walk the last mile to the Oscars because the Palestinian protests were blocking the streets. Exactly. Now, they didn't mention that, did they? That apparently it started late. Same reason the State of the Union did, right? From Jim Jackson, the ability to ape or mimic some script written for you doesn't lead to an intelligent comment when you're on your own. That's true. And from Jacob, Nazi Germany all over again. Even the actors in Germany had to click their heels. Oh, right. Can you imagine if you were one of the actors or actresses there and you wanted to raise your hand and say, I like Donald Trump, right? Can you imagine there would have been, I don't know what.
Burned alive.
Been thrown out to the Palestinian protesters, yes, right? Yes, and said, you make your way through the Hamas people. I mean, it's, anyway, you could see Donald Trump. Seriously, I'm kidding. I'm sure his staff people are like, please don't tweet that or put on True Social. And he's like, oh, maybe Jimmy Kimmel will read it. He's not going to read it. And Jimmy Kimmel said they told him not to read it, but he did anyway. So, and again, I don't think he even gets that he was played by Trump, you know, or, you know, in his world, they don't care. But one other final note on the movies, this is kind of funny. So we talked just briefly last week about how, Russell Wilson got cut by the Broncos, right? Well, if you were feeling sorry for Russell Wilson, don't. Not only, number one, did he, I think, sign with the Steelers or was going to for $1 million, but Russell Wilson was at the Vanity Fair after party. Like, how does Russell? I guess his wife was a Instagram something. Person or something. MTV star. Right. His wife
she's,
was.
She's sort of intolerable.
So, well, she seems nice enough, just like he seems nice enough. But somehow she did something that made her famous. So they get invited to the party at Vanity Fair, although apparently LeBron James was there and everyone was paying attention to him.
Oh, no.
But they left in their Maybach, is that how you say? Maybach Mercedes. So they go there, they got a Maybach Mercedes that apparently started at like $200,000.
Well, he got last year, he got like 15. Million. I mean, you know, you can buy a lot of Maybachs.
Well, yeah, the Broncos are paying him. So anyway, so Russell Wilson apparently not taking it all that hard. Then he got laid off from the Broncos. He's like, oh, well, I'm on my way to Hollywood and the Vanity Fair after party. Oh, I know. Good for him for that. But it's like, you know, you forget that there's that whole other bazillionaire side of Russell Wilson who probably, while he does sincerely probably want to play football, doesn't really care if he can't. So there's that. So did you want to talk about, unless you guys have other things to say, that was my only thing on the Oscars. We don't know what the ratings are. I'm assuming they're probably bad again, because we're watching them. But on happier news, the Texas primary.
Yeah, Texas primary last week, and they've gotten virtually ignored, except down in Texas, which is part of the reason is they have a primaries where if nobody gets 50%, then the top two people go into a runoff, which is not until 2.5 months later in May 29th. So, you know, the full effect of the voting is not known. But it was unbelievable. There's a generation of Bushies, Rove Bushies that got thrown out. Yeah. Now we won't know for sure till some of the.
If they were thrown out, but at least they were rattled.
Well, yeah. And some were just thrown out. They were incumbents. And what happened is, the governor wanted to do a school choice voucher, educational planning, savings plan thing. And it got into the House. In the House, under Republican, the last 10 or 15 years, the liberals, a group of liberals get together, they go to the Democrats, and usually that 10 or so, maybe 15, 10, and say, look, if you all vote for us, we'll make you committee chairman of certain chairs, and we'll block some legislation, water it down. And so the Democrats get together with the 10 or so Republicans, and they get in a rhino speaker. And the speaker's deal is to sort of attend his conservative, sort of let some bills get through that he can't help and block others. And it's a real dance. And the one who did it probably the best was Joe Strauss, an alumni from Vanderbilt. he always advancing quickly. Oh, this is the most conservative this, most conservative that. Well, this time it was Dade Phelan who took that position as speaker. And he made two mistakes. One mistake, he tried to impeach Ken Paxton, the Attorney General. He rushed that through. So I think, I forget how few, 17 or so Republicans didn't vote to impeach him. Once it got to the Senate and the trial, anybody watched that? That's another great trial to watch. Or at least impeachment to watch. And you know, it was clear that it was all made up and bullshit.
Right. I was gonna say they just made.
So we did that, which got Paxton promised to get all those people who heard that. And then Phelan did not get through because he didn't try the school voucher one. And so the governor, who has been, you know,
Abbott,
he was elected as kind of a semi-moderate, not, you know, somewhere between a Bushy and grassroots, but a semi-moderate, just went bonkers. And he said, I don't care what you support in that last. The 21 people who voted to throw school vouchers out, I'm going after all of them. And I don't care if you voted against me on everything else, but you voted for me on that one, or vice versa, that you voted me every time, but you voted against me. I'm going after those 21 people. So that combination of two of them just going after everybody, and the governor got $6 million from a guy named Yass in Pennsylvania Sports School. So he gave it to all the challengers trying to go
the
after
Bushy
them.
The Bushy people.
Well, the night.
Well, and the anti-school voucher, right.
And it was just a bloodbath. And Phelan himself came in second. He had 43% of the vote. His opponent, Covey, got 46. But since nobody got to 50, it's going to a runoff. The person who can't, 10.5%, the woman who got that, has endorsed Covey and gone out against Phelan. So you never tell on runoffs because it's a different group that votes and everything else, but he looks in real trouble. But it wasn't just that. I mean, for example, Paxton tried to bring indictments against various people for voter fraud, and the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, and that's, Texas is interesting, they bifurcated. So there's a Supreme Court for criminal cases and a Supreme Court for civil cases. Ruled 8-1, he couldn't do that. He can only do it with the aid of attorney general for the district. So that means in Houston and Austin, all the places where they cheated, he couldn't do it because they had Democrat, you know, Soros elected DAs. So he went, the three of them were up for election, including the main judge, a woman who's been in office since 94. It's a long time, 26, 30 years. And all three of them lost, and badly. They all lost badly, so they're all kicked off the court. And there are other races for county commissioners and for
up and down ticket
education ones, and that lost or got forced into you know runoffs and stuff. But I mean, it could be there'll be an enormous changeover, depending, of course, on how the general election goes, whether the Republicans win that and how many seats they win it by if they do win. But it's amazing. Two donors, Dunn and Farkas, contributed millions.
On which side?
On the side of the anti-Bushes.
Okay.
And everybody said they were out. They were gone. Those are the guys, along with Strickland, were behind Pale Host Strategies that our good friend Heidi Gunnall said she learned so much from. But everybody, they Nick Fuentes went down there along with Kyle Rittenhouse. And so the Texas Tribune, the left of center Texas Tribune, screamed that you're a racist and you couldn't take money from them. Of course, everybody said, screw you. Maybe don't take money from them. But they changed the name. It used to be Defend Texas Liberty, is now Texans for Conservatives or something.
Something like that.
But nothing different. But it could be, come the end of May, that a whole generation of rhinos are gone, and Texas will be actually closer to Florida as far as
right.
having a, you know, being able to implement reforms.
So, well, and I think, and what it's so part of it is there, you think just time to a certain extent too, that, I mean, the Bushes, it's been a long time, so they're starting to lose their influence and there are new donors coming forward. You think the immigration issue, I mean, Abbott has been such a hero there, or, I mean, what do you think is
it's a combination of the school voucher going down so badly, everybody watching on TV, the sham of an impeachment, and the immigration, although they passed an immigration board this year, they had blocked it previously. One of the things, they're also, you know, there are various liberal Republican congressmen, including Will Hurd, who decided not to run again, but he was a stream rhino. Another one, Kay Granger, voted against in impeaching Mayorkas, along with Ken Buck and a few others. Granger decided not to run. And then $2.5 million was given to run bad ads against this one guy who's the son-in-law of Dinesh D'Souza. Yeah. And he won 58% of the vote and won't have a runoff. Gonzalez is another reach across the one, and he's been he'll be off to a runoff. So
Charlene is asking which big donors funded the Texas speaker, the Koch brothers, you think, or funding Rhino legislature?
Speaker. It's called, it's a group called Texans for Lawsuit Reform, and includes all the Bushy businesses there.
At one time, but they don't really need the Koch brothers down there. They've got the Bush people.
You got the Bush people. And so it was an enormous amount of money that every year goes for the Bushies. And I'm sure they've got, you know,
they're not gonna lay down, but in other words, it's very good news. Once again,
it was tremendous news, and it could be just the biggest changeover. And you have to understand that the backbone of the Democratic Party in most states, including Colorado, for the Democratic Party is the teacher unions. Enormous amounts of money gotten through dues. And they also constitute enormous volunteer things to get out the vote and do other things. You break the teachers union and Democratic power really dissipates. And they did that in Iowa. And now you see the elections go farther and farther, in part because the teacher unions are getting less and less money and power.
Right. I think the COVID. And kind of along with that, because I wanted to briefly talk about the Adam Schiff interview, right? Because this is ridiculous. So Adam Schiff, because he hasn't done enough to destroy the House. Now he's running for Senate in California. We'll probably get elected and become the senator. He was on the House Intelligence Committee. Odds are he'll become a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, which I think controls and did control a lot of the. There were a lot of people, I think, like Devin Nunes, who knew that the Russia hoax was the Russia hoax, and they knew all of the lies and things like that. But the Senate Intelligence Committee prevented a lot of that from being put out because they hate Trump.
They put out their own report saying it was true that Trump was an asset of the Soviet
Union. Right.
I
mean, yeah. So, I mean, the Senate Intelligence Committee and the members of it, I think, are just
Marco
agents.
Marco Rubio and others.
And he's not, are members of, to a great extent, of the deep state, right? So Adam Schiff was on one of the, I think this is a CNN, and this is just a complete idiotic answer. Well, it's an idiotic question. So once Trump becomes the Republican nominee, he will then start getting briefings, some kind of security intelligence briefings, right? And the woman says to Adam, well, given that Trump faces all of these felonies regarding the documents, and I mean, completely ignoring the fact that not only did Biden have worse problems, but was determined to be too incompetent to handle his own defense. So, but no problem with the Biden court documents, you know, only Trump. We only
that
need
shift
to.
Was always saying, I've got all this proof because I'm on the.
Oh, yeah, I've read the reports, right? Which is a complete and total lie. So these are two trustworthy people. But here's what he had to say about. That. So if we could please, Thomas, play the Schiff soundbite.
Once he, if he officially secures the nomination, despite the fact that he's facing 40 felony charges for his handling of classified documents, as the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, do you think it's appropriate for him to receive intelligence briefings?
Well, that is the practice, but we've never had a situation where one of the candidates for president has been so criminally negligent when it comes to handling, if not worse, when it comes to handling classified information. So I have to hope, and knowing the intelligence community as I do, that they will dumb down the briefing for Donald Trump. That is, they will give him no more information than absolutely necessary, nothing that would reveal sources or methods, because we can't trust that he will do the right thing with that information. He's been so reckless. So, yes, it does concern me. It is part of a long tradition. They will be wary of what they share with him, and they should.
Now, here's what kills me about that, right? That, again, the Democrats are just so good at their, both the NBC person and Schiff, completely ignoring the fact that Biden faces exactly the same charges.
Irresponsible that he's saying, I've seen the evidence, and it's, you know, he's...
Right.
He's a Russian agent of Putin. I mean,
somebody could be so ruthless. Biden, for Pete's sakes, was keeping it in boxes in his garage. Now, that apparently is okay. But I mean, so it's just so stupid. But behind all of that, I think what's interesting is they are letting, this is my take on it, Donald Trump know that should you get elected, the deep state, the intelligence community is going to keep going after you. There is no way the intelligence community and the deep state is going to let Donald Trump get any information. I mean, they're still trying to find the binder, right?
Well, they don't even know what information. I mean, do you trust deep state? Oh yeah, it was started in a wet market in Wuhan. Yeah, that's it.
Donald Trump, I'm like, I'm going to call that Mike Benz guy on Twitter and have him give me security briefings.
Right.
And McGregor, right? And maybe I'll have Joe Rogan throw in a thing or two too. Why on earth, if you're Donald Trump, the intelligence community, here, sir, here's our intelligence briefing. You're going to be like, yeah, throw that away. Hey, Jacob, go ahead.
Did she just say that he was criminally negligent?
Yes.
Trump was criminally. Okay. Stephanopoulos said yesterday that Trump was convicted of rape.
Yes.
There's a lawsuit going. There's going to be a lawsuit against Stephanopoulos now. You know that.
Right, hopefully. Well, about Donald Trump is when you're like, oh, you're right. They just said, I mean, again, it's, you know.
It's haranguing that poor woman who just wouldn't take it and just let him have it. That was great.
It's insane to let, I mean, like I said, that Schiff sits there and with a completely straight face as he's concerned about Donald Trump's reckless handling. Now, let's even forget who you're for or not for. You can't pretend, like, only one of the candidates is accused of reckless handling, right? Right. No, Biden was accused of it and essentially was found guilty. They just are not going to try him because he's too senile. But you're right. But they just say it. They just say it. And the anchor goes, you're right. Yeah. I'm concerned too. Right. Yeah. And
there's another lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's going to be another.
And Stephanopoulos is like, was convicted of rape. It's like, no, but see, this is going to be the thing. I was reading something and it's going to be rapist, racist, fascist, right? That's going to be what they're going to be reporting over and over against Trump. Rapist. And here's the thing. It's not going to work. And you know, did you see the State of the Union? Biden did not get a bump from that at all.
Why would you get a bump?
Well, exactly. So, no, I know you're right, Jacob. It's infuriating, but I don't think people buy it very much. Do you anymore?
No. And I'll tell you another thing. There was a report last night about this one woman who took another woman or lady and smacked her skull into the sidewalk. I don't know if you saw that. No, it wasn't reported. Yeah, it was in St. Louis. And that's more scary to me than any of this other stuff going on. That some human being could just turn around and take another human being, just crack their head open on the sideline.
Right.
And it not be reported.
Right. Well, you know, although there is some karma. Did you see? So it was a reporter. Remember the kid that had his face painted for the Kansas City Chiefs game, red and black, right?
Yeah.
And then the Deadspin author wrote this horrible story slandering him. And the kid got attacked saying, oh, he went in red face and he was a little racist and had nothing to do with that. Well, did you see the entire Deadspin staff got laid off this morning?
You're kidding.
No, they were bought out by some startup. From China, I think, or something. So they laid off the entire. First thing they did is they had a meeting, said everyone you're laid off, and then they pushed a button, and they're all locked out of their computers. So it's kind of like there is some karma there, right? There is some karma.
That's
there.
True. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jacob. Well, there. I mean, Vice is gone. All of these places that made their living out of trashing Trump and writing stuff that wasn't even remotely true. And now, you know, like I said, they just laid off.
Oh, there's still plenty left.
They laid off. Oh, there are plenty left. Yeah. MSNBC, CNN.
Atlantic.
But it is like they just say, Trump raped this person. You know, Trump, you know, he's the only candidate who was accused of handling documents recklessly. Forget the pictures of Joe Biden's car in the garage. It's like, and they wonder why it's not working, right? That people don't believe. But again, I think as ridiculous as it is, the deeper thing there is you can rest assured that the deep state is already plotting against Trump, right?
They've been, you can be sure that the British, Australian, the Canadian intelligence services are monitoring every word he says.
Right. And there's no way they're going to give him good intelligence. Well,
they don't have good intelligence.
No, they Afghanistan, you're right. But I mean, even then, though, If I were Trump, and hopefully if he goes, you know, if he wins and he goes in, he just doesn't trust anybody. You
No.
know, I wouldn't even,
No.
you know, I would not trust anyone, because you really can't trust anyone. Oh, from here. Yeah, maybe Trump can push a button and lock the deep state out of their computers. Well, you know what, Charlene? That's a point. You know who can is Congress, right? Congress can defund them. I think we have a budget bill in front of them right now, right? So hello, wake up, Republicans in Congress. You could do that too. And the Stephanopoulos part is that he covered up the real rapes by Clinton. Oh, that's right. He was a Clinton
officer. That's right. That's right.
Well, come on, Jacob. Those are just minor points. Something else weird.
That's
we're,
really true.
Yeah, really. While we're waiting for Lori Sain to join us, is I don't know if you saw the stuff about Haiti. So it was back in, because I did my research, back in 2018. Now, there's a little bit of controversy here. Some people released that Trump, in a meeting, was talking about immigration and referred to countries like Haiti and other countries in Africa as shitholes, right? Something, by the way, that Trump denies. He said, I did not use a profanity. However, he got totally beat up. All the media people beat him up. Everybody said, no, it's not. Haiti's a lovely place. Lovely, lovely.
Pictures of people in, you know, kind of nice white women swimming on the beaches and stuff.
And that's, there were some celebrities, he had his arm around his Haitian friend, saying it's not a shithole, right? Well, this morning, the U.S.
It was designated by the U.N. officially as a shithole.
Yeah, the United States and other countries have already done this, evacuated all of their personnel from the embassy in Haiti because it is a shithole, a dangerous shithole. And gangs, so the prime minister doesn't sound like that great a guy, but he's out of the country. So some gang member named Barbecue has taken over, like literally, this isn't a joke, has taken over the city. The crime and the danger is so bad there that the countries that had embassies in Haiti, I think probably going to have to move their golf tournament. Well, I guess they don't have one there, but they're going to have
one on the other side of the island.
Yeah,
it's very prosperous and does well. The Dominican Republic.
And they're like, don't come here, don't come here. But anyway, so they evacuated the embassy, right? Because it was too dangerous. And it appears
I'm surprised. Does Corn Pop have part of this, one of the cities and stuff? Joe can go, hey, I'm back.
Corn Pop. Barbecue and Corn Pop are going to be running 80. No, it's funny. It's like, reading the international things, it's like, oh, you're Barbecue. Now, they say Barbecue got his name from barbecuing, burning his opponents and then eating them. I'm not so sure I bite that. He says it's a nickname that his mom gave him for barbecuing his friends. And no, I'm kidding. But anyway, it's like, so Donald Trump is like, the place is
it's a shithole.
It's a shithole. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a beautiful island paradise. But here's my big question. So after the 2010 hurricane or earthquake, right? $13.5 billion at least went to Haiti. The Clintons, remember, Clintons were all over that. What did they do with the $13.5 billion? How did it become such a horrible place that some gang member named Barbecue has taken over and we're having to evacuate the embassy? It's like, well, where'd that money go, Hillary? No, Chelsea.
Chelsea.
I don't know. Clinton
Foundation.
Exactly. Hey, yeah. So the Haitians don't like the USA embassy. Yeah, I wonder why. So I thought I saw Lori joining us. Hey, Lori, are you here? Did Lori Sain join? Did we see her yet, Thomas, or not quite yet? Okay, we'll keep an eye on her.
We'll
keep an eye on her.
I have to try to agree to everyone.
Hey,
Lori,
so you've been being interviewed by everybody now, so thank you for your time again. So last week we had you on the show. We were talking about, you had a perfectly reasonable resolution that Weld County, like numerous other cities and counties, should affirm itself not a sanctuary city. And then you added the very wise thing, nor we want to have make sure that Weld County taxpayer dollars aren't going to support illegal immigrants. And the Weld County Rhino Commissioner said, no, no, no. But they didn't stop there, because apparently you had many citizens who agreed with you.
Yes.
And so now, in order to deal with that,
they brought in Barbecue. He's
yeah,
going to be
Haiti.
A special security to make sure nobody talks about sanctuary cities.
So they've canceled public comments at public hearings. Am I right there?
That is correct. And I've never seen, I didn't think council culture was going to come out this hard in Weld County, but it's here. And apparently it's here to stay indefinitely, because they've canceled public comments. I saw the agenda this morning And they really did it. They canceled public comments. And I made a motion to restore public reinstate public comments on future agendas indefinitely. And it died to a lack of second. And then I made a point of order right as we were supposed to have public comment normally. And I read the Weld County Code allowed them, which says we will allow citizens 3 minutes on topics not on the agenda. So I read that, and the response was, we're adjourned. And we most people don't know this. We're basically legislative, executive, and judicial. If you count quasi-judicial as judicial. And so when we make law, we should abide by that law as best as we can. And, you know, we're supposed to, if we change the code, we have a three-reading process. And that three-reading process would at least allow public comment on taking away public comment.
Yes.
So, so we need to do that before we just shut down public comment. And, you know, that's very important that we have had some amazing results from public comment. We really have. And I'll tell you about the story of the battle for Briggsdale, but basically Briggsdale Lady Tigers were sidelined because they played with a team that had one player on the other team that suspected of having COVID, and Chassa shut him down. And so I just made these phone calls back and forth. I talked to all kinds of state legislators. I knew the head of CPHE, and, you know, eventually the governor's office called and say, what do you want? And so the result is the school district got permission, which they should have always had, to make their own assessment that players can play or not. But that took 8 hours of phone calls straight. I was burning up the lines on that. And because of the relationships I had at the state, we made that happen. But these parents were desperate when they sat in the public comment. They said, our seniors have made this pledge that they are going to play in the state championship since kindergarten. And they had to play by that next evening or they were going to be disqualified.
Wow. Well, and you said they came up and I've covered meetings when I was a TV reporter for decades, right? And the public comment, I mean, it's sort of like a time honored tradition in America, right?
Yes.
That there's almost always, and I remember one time in Boulder, there was one guy in Boulder who was crazy. So they limited him to making his crazy public comments only like once every other month or something like that, right? But he still got to, and you can limit the time, that's reasonable. Yeah. But to tell, mm-hmm. but to get rid of the public comment because you don't want to hear what the public has to say about your decision to not say, well, County is not, I mean, that's, it's insane. Well, that goes without saying.
But. And they have good reason to question it because we're one of 14 counties on the Center for Immigration Studies map, which is on my website, by the way, that says we are a sanctuary county. But even if we weren't listed as a sanctuary county, we should still say that and then back it up with action, which is using our funds and saying we're not going to misuse our taxpayer funds by doing this, because we're actively being sought after right now to take on and housing and everything else.
Oh yeah, well,
so
exactly.
Who are the other counselors on the
one? Yeah, that's name names. Yeah, that's name names. The county commissioners who want to at their public meetings get rid of the ability of the public to comment.
So it's basically, if you want to count it, that's what, and you can, a 4-to-1 vote. So I was the only one in support. I made the motion that died for lack of second. That would be Perry Buck, Mike Freeman, Scott James, and Kevin Ross.
Okay. And they're like, so no more public comment. And again, just so folks understand how crazy this is, like I said, I've covered numerous meetings, and I know that there are probably lots of times when the elected officials, like, you know, the public comment, you never really know what's going to come out, particularly in the unscheduled stuff, right? But that's, I mean, if we wanted to have dictators, we would vote for dictators, I guess, or change our...
Well, they have no. You got four dictators.
But the reason, I mean, these people represent the citizens of Weld County. And to say we are eliminating the public comment section of our public meetings, I mean, it's they should all be recalled, as far as I'm concerned. I don't live in Weld County, but I'd be like, what the frick, you know?
Right. And you know, we go to most countries in this world, it's Canaan, a hierarchy down the slaves. And we in the American system, we have self-governance. But part of that self-governance, of course, is holding our elected officials accountable for what they do. And I'm hoping the people will respond and say, look, we want public comment. We want to be a non-sanctuary county. I've got a petition on my website, two of them, one for the freedom of speech and one for the non-sanctuary county that people can fill out and plan on delivering that to the commissioners. But, you know, the response has been overwhelming so far for really both. And we are the taxpayer, the citizen, they are our boss,
right?
Not the other way around. We don't rule over them. You know, public comment is a pleasure, not a burden. And sometimes we don't even know about problems until people bring it up. And this is a way to access that. Some people don't have phones and they don't have internet and they don't have computers. I know that's crazy to say, but we have one gentleman that comes in and comments regularly. He's always very mannerful, but he's homeless. And he comes in to public comments to tell the commissioners his concerns and ask for responses. And this is the only way this gentleman can do that is through public comment.
Well, and I go
as Perry Buck decided to kind of emulate her ex-husband and just go totally off the rails.
There seems to be some similarities on certain things, but I won't comment on that so much. But you can tell politicians will do this all day long and move their lips. It's how they vote. You've got to look at how they vote to represent you. If they're saying this and I'm conservative, but they vote for bigger government and more taxes every single time. And again, I'm the only commissioner that's fought against raising taxes, not once, twice, three, four times. And there was a hardcore vote on that. It was 4-1, by the way. And, you know, this is just so out around that, you know, when even Boulder joins me in voting down a tax, you know, it's really bad.
Well, and again,
the older commissioners voted down a new tax with me.
These are not Democrats. I mean, you know, we watched the shenanigans at the state, and you saw it firsthand at the state legislature with Democrat lawmakers, right? And they routinely would put down and mock, but at least they let them talk. They didn't ban it. At least they let them talk, right? But these are Republicans. The core issue is here, who don't want to hear what the public has to say about the number one hottest topic in the country right now, illegal immigration. I mean, it just boggles the mind.
Poor Scott James, I guess he withdrew from the CD8 because he didn't want to split the rhino vote with
Gabe Evans.
But now he's back in Weld County doing good things for the people.
I mean, what is going on with these guys, Lori?
Well, we had a changeover to commissioners. And, you know, if anything, Kevin Ross is a chair. He can be blamed for this. But, you know, as far as when you're running for Congress and you're proving you're part of the swamp by raising taxes and telling people, well, we're raising taxes for these two things. And the resolution says shall in legal terms. That is, you will do it. It's not an option. We shall raise taxes for an ag building, $78 million ag building, which that would be Gold Saddles or something. Trump ag building. I'm not really sure, but and only solely in this location, which, by the way, is a floodplain. You can't build that building there. And then you have commissioners openly admitting on the video saying, well, we may or may not actually build that building. We want to spend that how we want. And we've got all three of the male commissioners advocating for it. I'm the only commissioner advocating against. And Trenton Lisey did call out Perry for not being there and then actively shaking her head when I spoke the second time against the same thing, right? They made another run at it with we'll do it this time on a different set of buildings, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, regardless of what the excuse is to raise taxes, Weld County Council voted correctly. That was Eli Hatch, that was Trent Lisey, that was James Welch. They looked at the charter and said, the charter says.
Right.
You know, we've got a 5% limitation growth per year, so we're even more frugal than Tabor. And it says right here, we do not need it for the 2024 year. And they were absolutely correct in voting how they voted.
Right. Well, and let me ask you this, and back to the public meeting. So I'm not expecting a big attendance from them at this, but we got there is apparently a town hall. Lakewood, by the way, is having a town hall meeting, and that the Weld County commissioners, other than yourself, should pay attention to this because Denver's trying to ship the illegal immigrants to Lakewood, and they're going to ship them up because everybody else has said, we're not a sanctuary city. You can't come here except for Weld County. But apparently there's a town meeting ensuring Weld County's non-sanctuary status fairness and fiscal responsibility. And it says, we, the concerned citizens of Weld County, are extending a heartfelt invitation to the esteemed members of the Weld County Board of County Commissioners to join us at this meeting to talk about our commitment to ensuring Weld remains a non-sanctuary county. It's going to be Wednesday, March 13th at 5:30 at the Weld County Administrative Offices. Do you think that Kevin...
Are the public allowed to speak at that one?
Yeah, will the public be allowed to speak at their own town hall?
I don't know, but I've already heard whispers that, you know, one of the commissioners told one of the folks that is planning on attend that we can just say that we are... Well, they already did that in a public meeting. We are not a sanctuary... We are not a sanctuary county, but you have to back it up with action. It needs to be in writing, and it needs to be really in the form of a resolution and taking action by promising you will not misuse taxpayer dollars, period. Anything else is just lip service. So I think it's very important that, you know, whatever town hall this is, hopefully when the citizens ask them, we want a product, not a proclamation. We want a resolution, and we want it to say, specifically, misuse of taxpayer funds. I think that's really the goal. So, yeah, hopefully they're allowed to speak at their dome town hall meeting. That would be fantastic.
All right. Well,
wild.
Is this wild. Just a couple of four questions. So is this prohibition against the public commenting at public hearings, is this like going forward then now? And it's only like if they decide to put it there that you can talk, or is this just on this issue? Because my impression from what I read was this is really covers for going forward any topic that they don't want to hear about.
Yes, that's correct. And back to this town hall, I'm hoping they get they better be running their own town hall, that being the citizens rather than the county commissioners. But going forward, yes, they don't want to hear about anything else, which really, again, any appearance, we all take an oath to the U.S. Constitution and state constitution as elected officials in Colorado. Even the appearance of squelching the First Amendment erodes public trust.
Yes.
So we should not be doing this. We don't have that many public commenters at meetings. I mean, sometimes we just have that one person. And, you know, again, it's our pleasure and honor to serve and to listen to our constituents, period, end of story. That should be the attitude, or you should leave public office.
Exactly. Well, Lori, listen, thank you for fighting. Thank you. And where should folks go to sign this petition, or I get to sign the resolution that you want to send?
Yes. Go to SANE. forweld.com or the numeral 4, SANE for Weld, SANEFORWELD.com.
Okay, no. Lori, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Keep up the good fight.
The good work. I hope you have plenty of caffeine and Red Bull because you're going to need it. Thank you.
Yes, Lori. Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lori Sane, Weld County Commissioners. I mean, to me, I've never even heard of, I've covered a ton of meetings. I've never heard of the board actually saying from now on, we're going to ban the public comment unless we decide we want to hear it.
You'd think that would violate something. We're just not going to hear any complaints. That's it. No complaints. Yeah. You can't talk about it unless it's on the agenda and it says complaints.
Right.
And we'll just don't want to hear what's happening in our county. And we don't want to hear anything other than what's on the agenda.
That's right.
I mean,
which we control.
Which we control. Right. Therefore, we never do sanctuary cities, so you never get to comment.
We never do any. I remember one of the biggest Denver City Council meetings I ever covered had to do with on-street parking with campers, right? I mean, who knew? I went to this meeting, there's like a bazillion people that were like, oh, this must be something really important. And to the people, it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
This was huge in their neighborhoods. And they, you know, and the city council members like, back then they used to listen. They're like, who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
Right? Well, of course, if you're in Weld County, I guess if you have
You
don't know, and they don't want to know. Here, this is what gets me. It's, these are Republicans, you know. Well, when people say rhino, this is a rhino. Rhinos are people who do not want to hear anyone else's comment. Yeah, no, they don't want to get their hands dirty with the public, or because they're busy, tea times and things that they.
I've seen some of you look if somebody else has already made your point, you know, you don't have to make it again to us.
Right.
So, you know, if you have something different to say, great, say it, and you're limited to 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but we don't want to hear the same thing every time. And you kind of, well, that's reasonable. But they don't really enforce it. They just go, okay, thank you, you know, thank you.
Well, I've seen them sometimes where if the meeting is going on forever, right? And then sometimes they may do that. But to just flat out say,
no,
there's no
comment.
Public comment from the public.
Why don't they declare no more elections?
Why don't they just say no more meetings? We're just going to make
no, we're not going to have, yeah, why have a public? It's not really a public meeting.
If the public can't comment, it's just crazy. So let me see if you're from Charlene, diverting the mass is allowing them to vent at a meeting without ensuring non-sanctuary status. This is a first, Julie, kind of like school board, shut down the comments. Maybe they'll hide the illegals in housing at the processing plants, or maybe the commissioners will invite them into their homes.
Yes,
they can do that.
Well, got a lot of
them. Hey guys, that's going to do it for us on this Monday.
Well, say goodbye to everybody. Ships at sea. And it will, Julie.
Thomas, everybody on Zoom.
Thomas.
Lori Sane.
Lori Sane.
Hey, and remember you.
Jacob.
Jacob, yes. Well, Jacob, I mean, Jacob, Leo, who, Charlene, everybody who was on there. And Wednesday, I think we're going to have Lord Conrad Black again. Your historian. Nope, your historian. So it'll be a little
bit of a reading.
There we go. Hey, everybody. Anyway, have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you on Wednesday.